Siete in compagnia di SBS Italian. Trovate altre storie su sbs.com.au/italian o scaricate la SBS Radio app.
A couple of years ago, SBS Italian brought to you the story of an initiative that took and still takes place in Musumeli, a town of around 10,000 people, right in the middle of Sicily, in Italy. A few years ago, in fact, the city started offering 1 euro homes to people who were willing to refurbish rundown homes in the center of the city in an effort to bring the historical center back to life. The story that we want to tell you today is the story of Dennis McCubbin, a Gold Coast man who decided to leave his corporate life in London behind and set roots in Sicily, not only to refurbish a 1 euro home, but also to establish a social enterprise in Musumeli that will not only feed people in need, but also provide training to future chefs that want to foster their careers in a social sector. Danny, welcome to SBS Italian.
Grazie, Federico.
Danny, first of all, tell us how, from the sunny Gold Coast, you ended up in sunny Musumeli.
I moved to London in 1998. Obviously, my grandmother was from England, and I had the ancestral visa to be able to work there. I had backpacked in the 90s through Europe for 2 years and really went home to Australia, and I wanted to go back to London and to Europe because I love Australia, but I felt at the time I needed to have more experiences overseas. So I initially thought that I would stay just for a couple of years in London. However, Federico, I ended up working and then traveling through Europe. And at the end of the day, what happened was I ended up getting a job with Jamie Oliver through luck and hard work. It was many years ago in 2002 when Jamie's company was quite small. So I knew Jamie's art director from Melbourne, and I had been traveling. I came back to London, didn't have a job, and I just sent my CV out to everyone I knew. And my mate Matt said, look, there's a job going in Jamie's office. They need an all-rounder. They need somebody with food experience. I think you'd be good at that job. So that's how my journey started. And I think in many ways, Federico, I'm not sure if I would have stayed for as long as I did if I didn't get the job with Jamie, because I ended up working for him for 17 years.
Something must have then changed in your life. What prompted you to make a move to the southern part of Europe?
Pianto per le Brexit. I was very sad, like many others, when Brexit happened. We were shocked at the time. And that just changed the nature of my relationship with the UK then, because suddenly all that joy I had of being able to travel seamlessly throughout Europe, being able to live and work in the rest of the EU, was taken away. And sadly, Federico, the London and the UK became, for a number of years, not as welcoming and pleasant as I had found it when I moved there in 1998. That started my journey of thinking, okay, I'd really love Italy. I'd been volunteering for a community called San Patrignano for close to 10 years. The moment Brexit happened, sped up the process of what my next step was going to be, not only in terms of where I wanted to live, but what I was going to do post working for Jamie. So through my work, what I was really passionate about was Jamie's campaigning and how food can bring people together. And through that, Federico, it then opened up all these other doors for me around projects like San Patrignano, I ended up working on various charities and campaigns. I worked on the Cook for Syria campaign with the team, the Bake for Syria campaign. It's only until the last 2 years that I was able to verbalize what it is that I actually do. And what I do is I work on projects where I help people come together through food. So fast forward to 17 years later, I always said that I would leave my work and leave my job when I was at the height of my career. I had a few things happening at the time. I had a few health scares where I hadn't been sort of looking after myself, and I had been missing Australia. And I decided to leave, not knowing what it was that I was going to do. And at the time I was about to leave, I had heard about the One Euro House project, and I started to investigating all the different towns that actually offer the One Euro House. Because a lot of them, you know, there's a lot of stigma around it and a lot of mystery, you know. It took me 6 months to actually leave my job after I resigned. But in that 6 months, I started looking at the possibility of buying a house at the time in Italy that I thought maybe just a home for me. And that could be a possible next step post working for Jamie.
How did you go from having an idea to making it become a reality?
In the back of my mind, not only did I see the One Euro House project, or, you know, the One Euro House as a residence for me in Italy, but always my question was, how can I then turn that house into a social project so I can continue doing the work that I've been doing around food and community? And I didn't quite know, Federico, what that project would be, but I knew in my heart that I wanted to live in Italy. And I knew in my heart that if I was going to do that, I wouldn't just have this glorious second home or this glorious home in Italy and I sit there and do nothing. I can't sit around and do nothing. And so I just trusted the process. You know, I just thought, okay, well, why don't you go through the process of buying the house anyway? And then once you end up living there, you'll trust that things will fall into place. I was just so impressed with the team here, so impressed how seamless everything was in terms of the buying process in Italy. And not speaking Italian fully, I thought, okay, I must buy a house in a town where there's going to be no surprises, where you everything is transparent. And that's the main reason why I bought Musumeli. And I just was absolutely enamored with the people here who were so kind. And Totti was so welcoming and so kind. I thought, this is where I really should be buying, because yes, it's not Tuscany where my friends are. However, if I'm gonna do something around a social project, it's best to do that in a place where there is trust and where I feel that I would get the support to do it. So, so per me molto importante aiutare la Musumeli. So it was really important for me to then, you know, this whole One Euro House project is about communita. It's about how to rebuild community again. I mean,
before we start talking about your social project, tell us a little bit more about the house that you bought.
So Federico, for me, I saw, I think, 27 houses. I flew here 3 times from London. And so my advice for anyone who's listening who is thinking of either returning here as an Italian living in Australia or has relatives, because part of my mission as well is to help Italians see that they can be a part of this as well. So when I flew here, it was really important for me, Federico, that 120 houses have sold, One Euro houses have sold to foreigners here. And most of those houses have incredible views of the surrounding mountains, of Cetera, of Caltanissetta, like the beautiful area. And my mission was to buy a house, One Euro house, that wouldn't cost me 100,000, 50,000 euros to renovate. I needed to find somewhere where it was big enough to run a social project, whatever that was going to be, and then also that it wasn't going to cost me more than 20,000 euros to renovate. So that was my mission. So I saw 27, 28 houses. I saw many that had incredible views, and I was tempted to buy them because of that view, and I was like, no, stick to your plan. It was the last house I saw, and it's also in a very old area of Musumeli called San Danrico, Enrico, and it's not the most beautiful area of Musumeli. It just has heart and soul, though, I could sense. And when I went there, the last piece in the jigsaw that for me, which was placed, was that I started to meet the neighbors in the streets, including an elderly man called Salvatore, who's 97, who was a farmer since he was 9, who came and took my hand, and through a friend who interpreted for me, said, he loved the whole One Euro House project. He loved the fact that I was working on something to come and live here. If I ever get in trouble, please can I come and see him, and he would help me. And I cried when he did that. And I just thought, I want to be somewhere like this, because this is the heart of Musumeli. So My house, it's the roof was leaking. I got that repaired as soon as I arrived December last year, so that stopped a lot of the kind of cracking in the walls. The foundations are fine. It doesn't have a bathroom, so it has a very old stable where I'm sure the family used to maybe bathe there. It has a toilet that unfortunately doesn't work. But structurally, it's fine. And then also, it's a big house. I bought that house for €1. I flew back to Australia, left Jamie, left work, flew back to Australia, did all the paperwork from Australia, which cost me quite a bit of money. If you do the, if anyone's listening, you must, it's much easier to do the paperwork when you're here. It cost me €2,800 for all the paperwork for the notary, and then the house is mine. And then I started thinking, okay, well, yes, I'm going to go and live there, but what do you want to do in that house? And then that led me to the idea for the community kitchen.
So how did the idea for the community kitchen come about? What is it in detail?
I was heading back to live here in February 2020. So I flew back from Australia to London, had my flight booked to Palermo, and then COVID struck. I was stuck in London. I was lucky that I had a really good friend, had a spare room that I could stay. And then, you know, I thought, what can I do here? You know, I'm not going to sit around and do nothing. So a friend reached out to say that in North Kensington, that there was a resident looking at setting up a community kitchen in a church. And would I be interested in helping? And I said, of course. So I went and I met the resident. And within 3 days, we set up a community kitchen in the church in North Kensington. So in a short amount of time, in a matter of a week, we went from nothing in the kitchen to then cooking for 500 to 1,000 people a week. I then moved to another project. I got asked to volunteer for another project by, it was run, a charity run by Italians who I've been connected with before through San Patrignano, who also had a charity to help that helps vulnerable people suffering from challenges around addiction and mental health. So for the last 6 months I was in London, I set up another community kitchen in Clapham, where we would take surplus food and feed vulnerable people. So as I started doing this, the last couple of months, I started thinking, hang on, maybe this is something that I can do in Musumeli. So I took a leap of faith on the 7th of December and said, right, I know I want to be an Italian resident. I know I must get to Musumeli beforehand. I booked a flight. I arrived on the 7th of December. And then I started to talk to people here and to the town about how I could set up a community kitchen similar to the ones that I'd set up in London, and how I could run that in the town.
So at what point of your project are you at now? When is it supposed to be completed?
And so what the situation in Musumeli is that the people are turning to the church for food. So all of the churches in Musumeli are buying food and providing that food to people who have either lost their jobs or, you know, the elderly people or you know, vulnerable people that need food. So what I also did was that I looked at then, okay, I don't want to just go to one supermarket. So I spoke to Toddy about where can we get the food from. And so where I met the head of agriculture for the region. So I'm actually going to be looking at traveling to the farmers and getting the food directly from the farmers. So a lot of the food that wouldn't have been sold to the supermarket, they can then donate to our kitchen. And so what I decided to do then was also, I was thinking, how is this project going to be relevant if I do a crowdfunder for all my contacts in the UK and throughout Europe, this town in Musumeli, how are they going to relate? So my experience of setting up the community kitchens last year was that many of the chefs that came to volunteer for me, although they were brilliant, they didn't have a lot of experience in how to cook in a community kitchen. How can you take all that surplus food and create recipes quickly? So my idea was to then not only fundraise to set up the project in Musumeli, but also to set up a chef training program for young chefs that they come, I get paid them, they come here, they work with me for 6 weeks. I teach them to be community cooks, and then they go back to their towns or wherever they're from, and they can either work in community kitchens. And obviously with a lot of restaurants closing, that's because unemployment is high in restaurants. So once I came up with that idea, it really resonated, particularly with my UK network. So I launched the crowdfunder. I had a target of 15,000. I ended up raising £42,000 for the project.
Wow.
So I was just completely blown away. And now, obviously, The town has gotten behind the project as well. And then my vision is, and my dream is, that it becomes a social enterprise, that it actually becomes a business that we can employ people. So rather than it just being a charity, how can I set it up as a social enterprise in the town that young people can come and work and run it? And my dream is that, you know, in 2 years' time, I would take a bit more of a back seat and I give it to the town. So the house, I'm in the process of setting up an Italian charity. The house will be transferred over to the charity, so it'll no longer be in my name, it'll be in the name of the charity. And the renovations will start on the 7th of June. That will take a month. I then will cook in the kitchen by myself for 1 month. And then I will open it up to the students coming along and then cooking as well. So that's the plan. And the renovation costs around 20,000 euros. However, my wonderful architect, Nicola Sula, has applied for government grants, because there's a lot of government grants now, Italian government grants, to offset the costs if you're making your house sustainable. So we're getting half of the costs back from the government as well. So what is so wonderful is that most of that money then is going to go into the charity. And then for all the listeners, you'd be very familiar with a wonderful man by the name of Antonio Caluccio, who was a friend of mine and a wonderful, wonderful person. So his foundation has donated money, £12,000, to pay for the bursaries for the students, so over the 2 years, which is incredible. So there's another wonderful Italian tie-in there. My good friend Gennaro Contaldo as well. He really got behind me when I was doing the crowdfunding, so he was able to help me to get to that target, which is fantastic.
Thank you, Danny, for sharing this incredible story with us, and we will for sure check in with you in a few months once your project will be up and running.
Volete ascoltare altre storie come questa? Potete trovarle su Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify o ovunque scarichiate i vostri podcast.